In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are times when you read the Gospel and you think, oh, I wish Jesus hadn't said that. And today's reading is one of those. It starts off by being very inclusive, with the people from the highways and byways being invited to the feast. The sort of thing that Say of Levi was talking to us about last week, when he told us about the work being done by the Passantenhilfe here in Bern, where quite literally people are coming in off the street and being given food and shelter. Then we hear about this man who did not have the proper wedding garment, and he is promptly thrown out into the night. What is all this about? Surely if the man did not know he was going to be invited to the wedding, then he can hardly be expected to have had a proper suit of clothes with him. But you see, the most likely explanation is that what we have here is actually two separate parables that have got joined together at a later date. It is fairly obvious that in both parables, the wedding feast stands for the heavenly banquet to which we are all invited. Psalm 23, which we sang just before the reading, also has the same theme: the good, rich pasture to which the good shepherd leads his flock is another way of portraying this heavenly banquet. And we all know the parables Jesus told about that good shepherd who went out to find the sheep who had got lost, to bring them safe to that banquet. So then, we are all invited to the party. Some people are not interested and turn down the invitation, even violently, as we see in that reading. Other people, on the other hand, appear to accept the invitation, but something is not right. Apparently, in first century Palestine, when you were invited to a wedding, you didn't rush out and immediately buy a new outfit and a fancy hat. What was expected was that you would turn up in your ordinary clothes, but they should be clean and freshly washed. And that gives us a clue to what this second parable is all about. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 7, the writer has a vision of the heavenly banquet, attended by a great multitude wearing white robes, and he is told they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And in the Old Testament, especially in the books of Leviticus and Numbers, to wash one's clothes was a sign of ritual purity, a requirement before taking part in worship. And public worship, both in Jewish and in Christian understanding, is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. The fact that you're not required to wear a special outfit at the wedding is actually quite significant. What God wants from us is not that we present an artificial Sunday best version of ourselves to him, but that we come to him just as we are, as the hymn says. We present to him our true selves with all our everyday experiences and circumstances, but as it were, freshly clean and laundered. That is, we come to him repentant and washed because we have accepted his free gift of forgiveness. In other words, what is going on in this parable is that it is not enough to accept the invitation. We must respond appropriately. Earlier on in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 7, Jesus tells the people, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." In the parable of the sower also, those who bear fruit are the ones who hear the word and make it part of their life. And a very obvious example of this need to respond to the word, and an appropriate one for today, is that of St. Paul himself. After his experience on the Damascus Road, he is told in Acts 22, "Rise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of Jesus." So to sum up then, if we let this parable of the improperly dressed guest stand on its own, it does make sense. It was probably understood by Saint Matthew as a message to the early church to guard against receiving converts and new members on too easy terms. It also stands as a warning to other Christians, even today, whether newly received into the church or long-standing members, telling them that accepting the invitation to God's party has consequences. It places requirements on what we think and do and say. And if we neglect those requirements, then we could end up worse off than before. For as Jesus said, "Many are called, but few by their response are chosen." And so to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be ascribed as is most justly due, all honour, might, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forever. Amen.